God is good all the time. God is good, yes. Even in the difficult times that we face in our lives, God is always there with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. During the summer of 1996, a wave of depression hit me one day. And I thought that I could shake it off, but it just wouldn't go away. It turned out to be severe depression, clinical depression. And as the days and the weeks and the months went on, I felt like I was in a hopeless situation, that there was no light at the end of the tunnel, that I would never get through this overwhelming problem. There was even a point where I didn't feel like going on. There was such an emotional pain that I was experiencing that I felt like I couldn't go on and I didn't want to even go on. This was a God-sized problem that needed a God-sized answer. And thankfully, Adrian was there with me, helping me through this rough time in my life. And we prayed, and we continually prayed together. We circled this depression over and over again. And after many, many months, finally, we began to see a breakthrough. And the Lord began to help me to experience victory. You know, God-sized problems, God-sized issues, God-sized challenges need God-sized answers. Today I want us to look in Joshua chapter 6 and see just how God can meet our God-sized problems with His God-sized answers. If you'll look with me, Joshua chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, 'I have given you Jericho, its king and all its mighty warriors. Your entire army is to march around the city once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing their horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast of the horns, have all the people give a mighty shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse, and the people will charge straight into the city.'" You know, as the army of Israel, as they were marching toward the city of Jericho, they had come into the promised land. They had crossed over the Jordan River. As they were marching toward the city of Jericho, the soldiers saw this impressive walled fortress city. And humanly speaking, the Israelites were marching into what seemed to be an impossible situation. How would they be able to defeat a city of people who had such protection and security on their side? But as the soldiers marched forward, under the command of their God-ordained leader, Joshua, they trusted and believed that the Lord Almighty was with them and that He would help them to overcome and have victory. Now, Joshua, their leader, their God-ordained leader, had seen throughout his journey in the wilderness with the people of Israel, he had seen that when the people obeyed God, that they experienced God's blessing and favor and grace. But he also saw that obedience leads to blessing, but also he had seen that disobedience leads to disaster. And as Joshua and the people of Israel, as they had obeyed the Lord, He had moved in a mighty and miraculous and powerful way to bring them into this new land, to bring them into the promised land. As we've seen earlier, at the height of the flood season, the Lord allowed the Israelites to cross over a flooded Jordan River on dry ground. A miracle had taken place, and once the people of Israel had finally gotten into the promised land, and as they had renewed their covenant with the Lord instructed them, "The first thing that you are to do is to attack this, what seemed to be an invincible city, this walled city of Jericho." If you look and you read into what God wanted to do to the people of Israel from the time they left Egypt, He said, "Go in and take the land. Go in and take the land. Go in and take the land." But we see that 40 years earlier, they had disobeyed the Lord, and they experienced the consequences of their disobedience. Once they had gotten in, the Lord said to Joshua, go in and take this city. If they were faithful to obey the Lord's instructions, they would experience victory. So at their base camp in Gilgal, which was just 2 miles northeast of Jericho, one day Joshua was considering, what do we need to do in order to take the city of Jericho? And we see in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, we see that the Lord appeared to him in the form of a man holding a sword. Joshua asked the man, he said, are you on our side, or are you on the opposing side? And the man said, neither. I am the commander of the Lord's army. And immediately Joshua recognized that he was in the presence of the Lord. He told the commander, God Almighty, who he was standing in the presence of, he said, I am at your command. Tell me, your servant, what you want me to do. Lord, tell me what you want me to do. I'm here, I'm ready, I'm listening. The commander told Joshua to take off his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. This is just like Moses at the burning bush. The Lord was revealing himself to Joshua, and Joshua was going to receive the instructions that he needed to lead the people to victory. He would be told how the Lord would enable them to defeat the enemy, to defeat those enemies that were going to try to keep them from fully occupying the promised land. You know, every day we need to daily encounter the Lord so that we can face the battles and the challenges that each and every one of us face each day. And I guarantee you, the Lord will give each one of us His clear wisdom, His clear direction, His clear instruction and guidance if we will get into His Word every day. So you see, the people of Jericho were shut tightly in their city. There was no one coming in. There was no one going out. They probably thought that they were safe behind these enormous walls. The city of Jericho was one of the oldest cities in the world. It was about 12 acres in size, not a large city. But there were these massive upper and lower walls. And scholars tell us that the walls were at least 25 feet high, in some places 50 feet high, and the walls were 20 plus feet thick. For any army to penetrate these walls, it would have been impossible, especially with the weapons that they had during that time. This was the type of situation that the army of Israel faced, and Joshua faced. It appeared to be a no-win situation. But Joshua had a promise from the Lord. We can find that in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its mighty warriors. What he was saying, Joshua, all you and your army need to do is to go in and take the city. And so in obedient faith, that's what was happening here. The army of Israel and the priests that were with them, they were marching toward the city with obedient faith, with what seemed to be like a crazy battle plan. So instead of taking the city by force, they're going to take the city by marching circles around it. Here's the plan that the Lord had given them. He said, your entire army is to march around Jericho one time a day for 6 days. Take the Ark of the Covenant with you to let people know that I am present with you. You're to have 7 priests to march ahead of the Ark. Of course, there are the priests that are going to be holding the Ark. Then you're going to have guards in front of the ark and the priests and guards behind. And then the whole army will follow. Notice how God was allowing them to do something totally different. Something so counterintuitive, something so countercultural as this. Who was leading the people to defeat the enemy? The worship team. The praise team. Those who were helping the people to focus on the Lord. It's amazing how God will use things that we never think of to do great and amazing things. God will use each and every one of us, even though we may not feel capable. He has called every one of us who are His believers, who are His followers, to do great and mighty things for us. and for him. So he said, have seven priests march ahead of the ark, and then there is to be an armed guard in front of, and behind of the ark, and the army is to follow. He said, on the seventh day, march around Jericho seven times with the priests blowing their horns. And on the seventh time, the priests are to give one loud blast. Then the army will give a mighty shout, and the walls will collapse. And you can go in and take the city. Now, to military leaders, this would have probably sounded like a ridiculous plan. But Joshua was following the precise instructions of the commander-in-chief. And so Joshua shared this plan with the priest and the military leaders, and they followed his instructions to the letter. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 10, Joshua told the soldiers and the priests, do not shout, do not talk as you're marching around, not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout, then shout. It must have seemed strange to the people of Jericho that the Israelite army was not storming the city, but they were circling it and they were blowing ram's horns. There were no battle cries. It was eerily quiet. And when the horns were finally blown, there was a message there. Interesting note here. This kind of horn that they blew was a horn that was blown to proclaim victory. So the message, when the horns were blown, the message that they were giving the people of Jericho is, your doom is certain. Your defeat is certain. We are proclaiming victory over the Israelite army faithfully followed the Lord's instructions. For 6 days, following the same pattern, they went around the city. And probably with all those that were there, it probably took around 30 minutes. And then they headed back to their camp. They did this for 6 days. The citizens of Jericho must have thought, Jericho is safe. We're invincible. We put our faith, hope, and trust in our walls. But be careful where you place your faith, hope, and trust. Jesus is our only real security. We've seen that in the past 20 years, even in the United States. Certain events have happened. We felt there's a lack of security. Jesus is our only real security. And Jesus is our only real victory. Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. Overwhelming victory is ours through him. There's a verse in Psalm 20 and verse 7. David said this, some put their trust in horses and chariots. Some put their trust in armies and weapons. But we put our trust in the Lord our God. So on the seventh day, the Israelites, they got up at dawn. They marched around the city as before, only this time they marched around seven times. And on the seventh time around, the priest gave a long blast on their horns, and Joshua commanded the people, shout, the Lord has given you the city. Go in and destroy everything in the city as an offering to the Lord except Rahab and her family. And keep silver, gold, bronze, and iron items for the Lord's treasury. Remember to obey what I say. Don't take anything. Listen, don't take anything or you will bring total destruction on yourself and you will bring great trouble on all of Israel. If you look in Joshua chapter 7, after this tremendous victory that they were going to experience, there was going to be tremendous defeat. Because one person took some items from Jericho and hid them, and it caused him to face utter destruction for himself. He died, and it caused great trouble. The people of Israel were defeated at first by the city of Ai. Personally, we need to make sure that we put to death anything in our life that's not pleasing to the Lord. All the time, we need to come before him and say, Lord, I surrender and submit myself to you. help me to see today what needs to be rooted out of my life. Lord, do whatever spiritual surgery that needs to take place in my life so that I can be used by you, so that I can be holy and set apart, so that you can use me to make a powerful impact for you. When the army heard the loud blast of the horns, they shouted as loud as they could. And what happened? These massive walls, huge walls, overwhelming walls, impenetrable walls, what happened? The walls came tumbling down. They collapsed. I wish we had a video of what happened during that time. It's an amazing thing. It must have been an amazing and magnificent thing to happen. You know, this is a story from a long time ago, and sometimes we read it and go, yeah, the walls came down. But this was an awesome thing. These walls came crashing down, tumbling down, collapsing. And the Israelite army rushed in. They took the city. They destroyed everything, and they took Rahab and her family to safety. Because of their obedience to the Lord, they experienced victory. Above all, this victory happened because of the Lord's presence and power. Because of the Lord's presence and power, they were allowed to overcome Jericho and experience this mighty victory in this new promised land. I guarantee you that wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is wonder-working power to change people's lives. And guess what? We who are believers have Jesus, have God Almighty through His Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have the presence of God inside of us. And wherever we go, we take the presence of God. So there is the potential for people's lives to be changed when we go places, wherever we go, to our school, to our work, wherever we go. But God wants us to make sure that we're in the right position with Him, in the right place with Him, in the right relationship with Him, so that He can work in and through us to touch people's lives and their lives be changed forever. And that's the ultimate victory, when people's lives can be changed. Today I want to ask you a simple question. What's your Jericho? What's your Jericho? What's the one situation in your life right now that, humanly speaking, is impossible to overcome? You know, God-sized problems, God-sized challenges, God-sized issues need God-sized answers. Joshua and the people of Israel, over and over again, they faced God-sized situations. And the Lord was always faithful to give them God-sized answers. Think about what God had done in the wilderness. The people of Israel, they were at Mount Sinai. And they were in the desert. There was no water. And the people were crying out for water. And this just wasn't a thousand people. This was close to a million plus people. They were out in the desert. No water to be found whatsoever. They cried out, "We need water for ourselves and for our livestock." Moses got really worried, and he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, these people are going to stone me. What do I need to do?" And the Lord gave him the solution. "Take your staff, strike this rock, and water will come out of the rock." If we said that today, people would say, "You're crazy. Strike a rock, water will come out." But that's how God works. That's who God is. God is the God of the possible. And so the people of Israel had enough water coming out of that rock at Rephidim to satisfy the thirst of the million-plus people and their livestock. Think about what else God did. People, these million-plus people who were going through the wilderness, they needed food to eat. What did God provide for them? Bread from heaven, manna. When they saw it, they go, "What is it?" Manna. It's manna. They probably got sick of manna. They probably had manna stew. But manna bread. All kinds of things. They probably got sick of it because they had it for 40 years. It says, if you read in the passage here, once they got in the land of the promised land, the land of Israel, then God no longer sent manna because there was enough provision there for them in the new promised land. God did so many amazing things. When they came to this flooded river, and the million plus people needed to cross over to this flooded river, what did God do? He stopped the river from flowing. He dried up the ground immediately, and all of them were able to go across. God will meet our needs. And He'll meet them. him in a very powerful and in a real way. God-sized issues needs God-sized answers, and God will do that. If we're faithful and obedient to him and follow his instructions, we can experience the same things in our lives. Now, in order for the Lord to help you to overcome your Jericho, you're going to have to identify what your Jericho is. What's the obstacle? What's the barrier? What's the stronghold that's keeping you from moving forward into the promised land, further into the promised land that the Lord has for you? In fact, Pastor Mark Patterson says in his book, The Circle Maker, Jericho is spelled different ways. If you have cancer, it's spelled healing. If you have a child far from God, it's spelled salvation. If you have a marriage that's falling apart, it's called reconciliation. If you have a vision beyond your resources, it's called provision. But whatever it is, you need to spell it out. Sometimes Jericho is spelled without letters. It's a zip code that God has called you to, or a dollar figure that will get you out of debt. Sometimes Jericho has the same spelling as a person's name. What's your Jericho? Ask the Lord to help you to identify it, spell it out, and begin to circle your Jericho with prayer. And as you meet with the Lord every day, let him encourage you through his word, because he'll show you through his word that he has blessed you. He has given you everything that you need to overcome. Most importantly, he is with you. He is with us. Isaiah 54:17 says this, "No weapon formed against you will stand." Romans 8:31 says this, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" And the Lord's given us two powerful spiritual weapons that we can use to face our daily challenges, our daily battles, our daily issues. The Lord's given us prayer and his word. And if we use those two together, circling our Jericho with prayer and the word and the promises found in this word, the walls will come tumbling down in our life. The chains will be broken in Jesus' name, and we'll be able to experience true victory. More than 1,000 years after this miracle took place, another miracle happened in the exact same place. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus and his disciples, they were leaving Jericho. And there were these two blind men that shouted, that cried out to Jesus, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And what the disciples and the crowd thought was an interruption of Jesus. Don't interrupt Jesus. He's got more important things to do. What they thought was an interruption to Jesus' schedule, Jesus saw as a divine appointment, as an opportunity. So Jesus stopped and he asked the men, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" It may sound like a crazy question to some. Was this question even necessary? Wasn't it obvious to Jesus what these men needed? They were blind. They needed to see. But what was Jesus doing? Jesus was forcing them to define exactly what they needed from him. Jesus wanted them to verbalize their need. He wanted them to spell it out. It wasn't because Jesus didn't know. Jesus knew. He wanted them to make sure they knew what they needed. So many times as believers, we have no idea what we want God to do for us. We can pray general prayers. God, bless me. God, bless us. God, use me. God, use us. Okay, that's very general, but let's get specific. God, use me to reach my fellow students with the good news, with the love of Jesus. God, use me in my workplace to reach those who really need you, who desperately need you, and they don't even realize that they need you. Lord, use me to make an impact in my community. Lord, help me to reach out to my neighbors. Let's get very specific with God about what we need. Many times we don't get what we need because we don't ask. James says in James chapter 4 and verse 2,
The reason you don't have what you want is because you don't ask for it. That's why the Lord Jesus wants us to tell him what we need, to verbalize it. He wants us to know exactly sure that we know what we need. And once we know what we need, we can start circling it with prayer and with the Lord's promises. Like the two blind men outside of Jericho, we need to encounter Jesus. And Jesus is there every day with us. We need to cry out to him. And when Jesus asks us, what do you need? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you today? Let's be sure that we know what we need and we ask him for it. And believe that he will do it. Have the faith to believe that he will do it. If you want to experience victory in your life, if you want to overcome your Jericho, I want to encourage you to faithfully circle your need with prayer. Be consistent. Be persistent. It may take weeks, it may take days, it may take months, it may take years. The Lord wants to see how serious we are. And don't give up. Just because you don't see an answer right away, don't give up. Just when the Lord wants you to experience his miraculous power. Many times, maybe too many of us give up too quickly, and we never experience God's mighty power in our lives. The Lord wants to increase our faith. He wants us to have an ever-increasing faith and trust in him so that he can do great things and greater things in us and through us. If the Lord has called you to circle something in your life, pray through until you see God's answer. Penetrate those walls, what seems to be invincible walls, those walls of your Jericho with the power and the presence of the Lord. You know, when the Israelites, when they were circling Jericho those 6 days, God was giving them a 360 perspective of their situation. They were able to see the city and their situation from all angles. Humanly speaking, it's impossible to defeat this city. It's impossible to overcome the citizens and the mighty warriors of Jericho. It's impossible, humanly speaking. But as they were marching around with faith in the Lord God Almighty, God was giving them a new perspective on what would happen. And he gave them his promise. I have given you this city already. Do what I say. Obey what I say. Follow my instructions, and you will see victory. And they did, and they experienced victory. And the same is true for us. If we'll identify and we'll circle our problem, our challenge with prayer, the Lord will give us a fresh, new, and clear perspective on our situation. He'll help us to see things from his point of view rather than from our limited point of view. You know, that's exactly what prayer does. Prayer helps us get outside of our problems. When we pray, we focus on the Lord Jesus. We give our problems, our concerns, our worries, our anxieties, our challenges, our hardships, we give them over to him. We don't hang on to them. Many times, as human beings, we like to hang on to our problems, our hardships, our issues. We focus on them. And many times, we think of God last rather than first. God is standing there. Jesus is standing there. He said, give it over to me. Don't try to handle the situation on your own. I am here for you. I am here with you. Just like Ming said, God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never says, I need some alone time. He's always there with us and for us. And when we pray, when we give our problems over to him, we allow him to work and move on our behalf. We stop trying to handle things on our own. The Lord encourages us in 1 Peter 5:7, where Peter says, cast all your cares, your worries, and your anxieties on problems and problems on the Lord, because he truly cares for you. Let's personalize this. Let's see what Jesus says.
Cast all your cares, your worries, your anxieties and problems on me. Throw them at me. Give them to me. Because what? I care for you. I love you. And I don't want you to have to handle this on your own. You're never intended to handle this on your own.
The Lord also encourages us in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, where Paul says this. Don't worry or be anxious about anything. Instead, what? Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. I tried to do that this week. To pray about everything, to thank Him for all that He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. Many times we're so wrought up, we're so focused on those things which just create so much stress and confusion and chaos in our lives. We'll just give it over to the Lord. Pray about it. Give it over to Him. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. God-sized issues, God-sized problems, God-sized challenges need God-sized answers. Our human efforts aren't going to produce the results that we need. You know, we can plan and we can strategize for countless hours. This is how it's going to happen. This is how it's going to get done. And then still not see the results that we want to see, that we're desperately looking for in our lives. What do we need to do? We need to give our Jericho to Jesus. What's your Jericho? Give it over to Him. Let Him handle it. Stand in faith and see the Lord move on your behalf. In Zechariah 4 and verse 6, the Lord says this, "It's not my might, it's not my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." It's by His Spirit, it's by His presence, it's by His power that we are able to overcome. Let's go to the Lord. So I want to ask you the simple question again today. What's your Jericho? And I also want to ask you, how are you dealing with it? And how are you going to deal with it in the weeks, in the days and weeks and possibly months to come? If you have a medical issue, if you have a chronic illness, if you have a life-threatening disease, circle it with prayer, believing for the Lord's healing. Of a family member or a friend or a co-worker or a fellow student who needs to know Jesus, pray for them every day. Don't give up on them. It may take years, but don't give up on them. Jesus never gave up on us. Believe for Jesus to save them. If you have a broken relationship with someone, a family member, a brother and sister in Christ, a friend, a spouse, circle that relationship with prayer. Pray through until you see, Lord, restore that relationship. Pray through till you see a breakthrough. If you're confused about the direction that you need to take in your life, take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to give you wisdom and direction. And according to His Word, in James chapter 1, He will give it to you. If you're battling depression or major discouragement in your life, take it to the Lord right now. Give that over to Him. Don't try to ever handle things on your own. Let the Lord fight your battles for you. Let Him empower you to be not only a survivor, but an overcomer. I encourage you, let the Lord show you how those walls of depression, how those walls of discouragement, how those walls of disappointment can come crashing down when you use the mighty weapons that He has given each one of us, a prayer and the promises found. Today, if you're being overcome by an addiction of some kind, cry out to the Lord for His mercy. And ask Him, Lord, I can't get over this. This thing has a tremendous hold on my life. Lord, I'm crying out to You. Intervene in my life. Break down the spiritual strongholds that have been built up in my life. Lord, I'm crying out to You for Your deliverance.
Let's remember, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is too hard for Him. Let the Lord help you overcome your Jericho.
Lord, we come before you today, and we know who you are. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the Lord Almighty. You are our Commander-in-Chief. You are the commander of the Lord's army. Nothing is too difficult for you, Lord. And so, Lord, we come to you by faith. We come to you today with everything that we have. And Lord, as a people of God, we come before you. We place our God-sized problems into your hands. Lord, would you give us that God-sized answer that we need? Lord, today, if there's one in our midst who needs a healing, Lord, would you bless them with your healing touch? Today, if there's someone in our midst, Lord, who has a broken relationship, would you heal and restore their relationship? Lord, if there's one in our midst today who is going through severe depression or discouragement or disappointment, Lord, would you encourage them? Would you help them make it through what they're going through, Lord? Lord, if there's one among us who's being chained by an addiction, who's in bondage to an addiction, Lord, would you deliver them? Lord, we know, we believe, we trust in you. And Lord, we know that when we obey you, we will experience your blessing. And even if it takes a while for us to see the answer, Lord, we will continue to be persistent. We will pray through. Lord, we'll penetrate those walls of our Jerichos with your power, with your spirit, with your strength. Lord, we love you. Continue to work and move in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name.